We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast.
Hello, darlings, and welcome to Corpse Run Radio. I am your host, Juno, and this is minicast number 25.3. Finally, my cold is gone. Huzzah! Just in time for allergy season. What are you gonna do, right? I don't know. Take your Claritin, stay indoors, and play some World of Warcraft. I'm not going to talk too much in this episode because I'm still coughing a lot, just for a different reason now. Anywho, this mini we have Grand Nagus with some more alpha thoughts, Asmongold with his honest opinion on legendaries in Legion, yikes, an excerpt from Wowhead Weekly number 69 titled Legion Requirements and Legendary Updates, Novel 87 with part 2 of 3 of the story of Vol'jin, Manny Berry with his Manny Shorts number 40, Healin' Dealin', and we'll be wrapping it up with a new offering from Timmy Dangerously called PvP Idiot. But first, a little Silver Laetomi, since it's still February, with her version of Love Potion number 9. Oh, happy belated birthday to Cameo! I'm sorry I missed it, darling. And I hope that you all have a great week. Dark Lady, watch over you.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know the woman with the gold cap tooth. She's got a little pad down on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of the potion number 9. I told her that I was a flop with chicks. I've been this way since 2006. She looked at my palm and she made a magic sign. She said, what you need is the potion number 9. She bent down and turned around and gave me a wink. She said, I'm gonna make it up right here in the sink. It smelled like turpentine, it looked like Indian ink. I held my nose, I closed my eyes, I took a drink. I didn't know if it was day or night. I started kissing everything inside. But when I kissed a cop down on 34th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of love potion number 9. I held my nose, I closed my eyes, I took a drink. I didn't know if it was day or night. I started kissing everything in sight. But when I kissed a cop down on 34th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of love potion number 9. Love potion number 9. Love potion number 9. Love potion number 9.
Sup y'all, it's me, it's your boy Asmongold, and today I want to talk to you guys about legendary items in Legion. Again. Now, the reason for that is because Blizzard put out a little bit more information and clarification on how they're going to work. Now, before I get into the video too much, I do want to say a couple of things. One thing is that it's raining outside, so if you hear any background noise, it's probably rain. But anyway, the second thing is I've tried to make this video a number of different ways, and each time it's been dishy, and guys, don't worry, I know some of you guys will think this one is dishy too, but anyway, I figured, you know what, like, I can't get it right, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just tell you guys how the fuck I feel. I'm going to just give you guys the real talk version, just me and you having a conversation about this. Now, anyway, guys, first thing I should do is explain the way that the legendaries are going to be different between now and Legion. Before they had the quest lines. Like, right now, you just do a very, very long quest line that spans through the entire expansion. At the end of it, you get a legendary item. Before that, you killed, like, the last boss in, like, let's say, Black Temple or Sunwell or something like that. Like, usually the last boss in an instance, and then that last boss will have a chance to drop an item that starts something, that creates a legendary or something like that. Usually legendaries are either very, very long quest lines, or also they could be drops from like the last boss in an instance, or with things like Sulphurous, Hand of Ragnaros, they could be a little bit of both. Anyway, so you guys see how before legendaries were all, they've always been a very big, sense of envy. Like, people have seen, like, a legendary item. Like, I'm pretty sure if you guys played back on Vanilla or Burning Crusade or anything like that, first time you saw somebody with a legendary, you might have, like, screenshotted them or, like, inspected them, be like, oh my god, where the hell did you get that? Why does that have orange letters? So anyway, legendaries have always been a really, really big deal in Warcraft. So, what they're changing in Legion now is that instead of getting a legendary item from Illidan, now you get it from a bear. Okay, now there's not a guarantee that you're going to get it from a bear. No. There's a random chance you can get it from pretty much anywhere out in the world. That's the that's what we're kind of led to believe by what Blizzard has said about these legendary items. Now, I don't really think it's any surprise that Blizzard has tried to make the game more and more like Diablo 3 in terms of loot, which I've always felt has been a really, really strange decision, because Diablo 3 is probably one of the worst games I've ever seen at retaining players. And in a game like World of Warcraft that has a subscription model, that basically their business model is keeping people engaged in the game, doing anything like Diablo 3 where it has a huge hype and then it just dies off in like less than a month, which would, by the way, only be 1 month of subscription time, seems like a pretty bad idea. But that seems to be, it's what they're doing, okay? And guys, I don't really think it's a secret, okay? And I think that we should just be realistic here and say what's just obvious, okay? Is that Blizzard is trying to implement a lot more RNG and other types of elements of gameplay that are not guaranteed. They're trying to step away from like the thing where you farm a certain item, you level up, and you get all the way up to Exalted, and you buy a piece of gear. And now, see, what they're doing is, somebody in the forum said this, I don't remember who it was, I think it was another warrior, he said that pretty much now you're still farming up to Exalted, except for you don't have the bar. So, you don't really know whenever you're going to be getting any of these legendary items. It's completely random, and Blizzard has tried to very, very, it's very overtly so that they've tried to implement more and more RNG elements into the game while giving people more and more rewards, but having each of those rewards be less and less rewarding. So, I consider this a very big disappointment, and I've talked about this a lot. I'm very upset about it. Hopefully they'll change it a little bit, but it seems to be like this is like a core element of the game that they're really trying to expand. And you guys remember back whenever 6.2 came out, they did that bullshit with the Ashran strong boxes where you could only get your best in slot gear from a strong box in Ashran. Well, a lot of people might not remember that, but I do, because it's just another element. And so they tried to say, this is the thing, is that they tried to say that a lot of players enjoyed the strong box system. Now, whenever I made a video about this, it had about 95% approval rating and 5% disapproval rating, and half of those people just telling me I looked like a beaver. So let's say that's only 2.5. So over 90% of people agreed with me, and of course, yes, this is my own audience, but let's go ahead and let's look on the general forums as well. On the general forums, there was a post with like 800 or like 1,000 or something like that upvotes talking about how everybody did not like the system that was being implemented into Ashran. And so whenever Blizzard turns around and says that some players do like the strong box system, how is it possible that, and this is just like an element, I'm trying to like draw a parallel here, I hope that I'm not going off on a tangent at all here, guys. The thing is, like, a lot of people, I think, do not like these RNG elements, and this is another time whenever an RNG element was put into the game that could affect players and hurt them in PvP, and people are very competitive in PvP, and so they don't want to be put at a disadvantage based on RNG. I didn't even read that many people who said that it was who said that this was a good idea outside of Blizzard. And so what really, like, how are they really getting this information? And because if their internal testing is so much different, and almost a night and day difference between the external feedback that they're getting from the community, maybe there's a problem with their internal testing. Because, you know, you can see, I mean, Warlords of Draenor started out with 10 million subscribers, and now it's got less than 5. And don't even try and tell me that they got more after they decided to not release the subscription numbers and then say the game's not even going to come out until after the movie, which is on June 10th. It's a fucking disaster. But, I mean, I'd be amazed if they even had 4 million at this point, especially with, like, a viewership on Twitch and everything. And so, and you think World of Warcraft is doing bad, bad, Diablo 3 is doing even worse, and Diablo 3, it doesn't even really matter how well it's doing, because they got your $60 for the game, plus $40 for Reaper of Souls, so they don't care how long you play, because they already got your money. But with WoW, they have to keep you playing. And making these RNG things where you just keep playing the slot machine over and over and over is not going to keep people engaged. It hasn't kept people engaged with Hellfire Citadel, and it didn't with Siege of Orgrimmar either. And it's just more and more RNG elements being put into the game, and these legendaries are pretty much the pinnacle of these RNG elements. Now, I think that anybody who's going to say that, let me explain what the difference is, so now you guys can see pretty much where I'm coming from and how I feel about these RNG elements, if it wasn't obvious already. Now, Blizzard put out two different, clarifications or rules that they're implementing on these legendary items. First rule is that in the first few weeks of whenever Mythic content is released or the raids are released, the legendary items, their affixes, will be disabled, and affixes are like, you get like a legendary item, and it has like, it's a warrior one. It's a trinket where your execute can now be used at 35% health and below, rather than just 20% health and below. So that's very, very good, especially for an arms warrior. So obviously any warrior that has that is going to be doing a lot more damage. And so they're taking those items out of the effectively out of the world first race. So whenever people are actually going for the world first kills, the RNG on legendaries is obviously not going to affect them. Another thing that comes in with this is that if they think that people are not going to be able to farm out the items that they need in those 2 weeks, especially very, very hardcore players, you've got to think that these things are going to be pretty hard to get. And also, whenever Blizzard has said that there's going to be a way for you to target, farming these legendaries. So, like, let's say there's, like, a legendary that's, like, a Vikril item. Okay, it's like a Vikril helmet or something like that for warriors. Let's say you go over to Stormheim or something and you can kill the Vikril guys and they have a higher chance of dropping it. I think that that's probably what it's going to be. That's very similar to how it was in Diablo 3. If you want to get the Butcher's Sickle, you can get it from any mob in the game, but if you kill the Butcher, you've got a higher chance of getting it. It's pretty obvious, right? In the first few weeks, they're not going to be the legendary items are not going to work in raids. I think that is a good idea. And then also the second thing that they're doing is that they're making it to where whenever at the beginning of the expansion, whenever people were first starting to make their characters, you're only able to equip one legendary item at a time. Now, you can loot multiple legendary items, I'm assuming, but you're only able to have one on your character at one time. So that makes it to where if a person gets extremely lucky, right, and they get three legendary items, that's not just going to make them a god and way better than everybody else in the group, right? And so I think that is a good idea. But whenever I see all of these changes and everything like this, and all of these, all this fine print, and all of these little minor things that they're trying to do, it makes me wonder, like, what really is the, is this system really worth it or not? You know, the players haven't even begun to have to test these legendaries. Like, the game's not even in the beta, it's still in alpha, and they're already having to make these different clarifications, and fine print, and changes, and it just seems to be a contrived, convoluted system. And I think it's going to be a puffin' disaster, to be honest with you guys. And I think that really the problem that the system is going to have is not as overtly obvious as something like the strong boxes in PvP with Ashran 6.2. It's much more subversive and something that I think like a lot of developers probably don't pay attention to. And it's a problem that people have had, because I've seen a lot of people that I watch. I think Bellura made a video about this a couple of days ago, and some other people have. And I kind of, like, whenever the legendaries first came out, I kind of gave it the benefit of the doubt. I was like, all right, we'll see how this turns out, right? And the way it's turning out, it doesn't really seem like it doesn't really, I don't really think it's going to be going very well. And the more changes that I'm seeing in here, it just indicates that they're having problems balancing the legendaries, and, that they're really kind of trying to force this on players, and I don't really think it's good for the game. Now, the subversive changes and problems that I think this is going to cause are more of an emergent gameplay issue. Now, I've talked about this before. If you go try and join a fucking raiding guild without a legendary ring. Go try and join a raiding guild in Siege of Orgrimmar without the cloak. You're not going to be able to get into one. So really what this is going to do is it's going to make it to where if players don't have these legendary items, or they don't have a legendary item, they're not going to be able to get into groups. Now you say, oh, well, that's not how it was with Thunder Fury and like like Warglades or something like that. For one, that was like 8 years ago, and like I'm talking about right now. This is happening to players right now. So I think that's really what's going to happen. Whenever these legendaries are put into the game, at a certain point, it's going to become more of a bonus. Like I guess like, it would be originally like a bonus. Oh wow, you know, this player is going to join our group, and he's got a legendary. And then it more and more as the expansion goes on and on and on, it's going to be, well, if you don't have a legendary, you can't join this group. And I think that that's what's going to happen, because that's exactly what's happened with the legendary cloak and also with the legendary ring. Now, it would just be stupid to think that that's not what's going to happen. And so people say that this the system is going to be good for casual players. I think it's going to be the exact opposite. I'm not going to have a problem, guys. I tell you the truth, I'm not going to have a problem killing bears for 18 hours a day to get my 35% execute trinket. It's going to be no big deal. I just do it because I've got a whole lot of time to play the game. But somebody who doesn't have all the time to play the game is going to be not only are they going to not be able to actually get these items that are going to make them do more damage, but they're going to be excluded and segregated out of groups and out of guilds because they don't have them. I don't see how this is good for casual players. And they say, well, maybe a casual player might get them. Yeah, maybe they might get them. It's the same as any other thing. Like, yeah, maybe you might get something, but that's completely, absolutely not. It's the same thing right now. Maybe somebody could get a 725 wharf or socketed mythic dungeon item, but that's probably not going to happen. Especially if you're not doing mythic dungeons all the time. So what are the chances of somebody getting this legendary item if they're not more of a hardcore player? So, or at least if they are a casual player, I think general players will be able to farm this, but for players who are just kind of like, you know, come and go and they don't really play too seriously, I don't really think that Blizzard, like, I don't want to have like a bunch of catch-up mechanics in the game at one point, but I also don't want Blizzard to make it to where those players just really can't compete and can't get back into the game without doing something that's probably not going to be a lot of fun. Like, I'll kill the bears, but I'm probably not going to have a good time doing it. Now, I think that you guys can pretty much see where I'm coming from, and also the legendary, the whole thing about it being legendary. I can't imagine anybody that would say that this is not spectacle creep. It's just, come on, guys. Be real. I mean, like, we've had legendary items for the entire duration of World of Warcraft, and they've always fulfilled a certain purpose. Now you're going to completely change the paradigm and give people, everybody is going to get a couple of different legendaries. I don't really see how that's not spectacle creep, okay? And I don't really think that it's a very good idea, personally, and it kind of takes the value, and people say, oh, it's only a word, it's only a color. Well, that color has meant a certain thing for the entire duration of the game, and now you're going to change what that means just to basically make people feel like they're getting more stuff, because that's really what this is. I don't really, what the fuck is this? Like, I mean, I don't really see why they couldn't just make the name red, couldn't just make them really good epics or something like that. They compare the world drops, and this is a very false and a very bad comparison in my opinion because of the way that I think it's going to turn out. They compare the world drops that we were getting back in Burning Crusade or Vanilla or something like that, like Skullflame Shield, Hand of Edward the Odd, Freezing Band. I think those were some of the ones that they gave out as examples. The Hammer of Destiny, that one kind of sucked though. But anyway, the really, really good level 60, level 50 to 60, level 70, level 80 epic BOEs. Then they're comparing those items and how awesome it was to get one of those items to the legendary items that are going to be put into Legion. This is a completely false comparison, and I think that anybody that actually remembered and played the game and can even just look at the items right now would know that it's ridiculous. For one, the items that we got back then were BOE. Okay, that's a huge difference. Alright, if you didn't get Hand of Edward the Odd, you could go kill Nether Rays out in Netherstorm for 5 hours or 20 hours or whatever, and farm up enough gold to get the Hand of the Edward the Odd. There was a guaranteed path of getting what you needed. With this, there's no guaranteed path. I'm assuming that they're not going to be BOE. It would be pretty hilarious to see legendary items on the auction house, but I'm sure maybe in a couple expansions we'll see that too. But anyway, on top of that, those legendary items, you look at Hand of Edward the Odd, I believe that was a level... I think that was either a level 70 or level 80 trinket. And so if it was a level 80 trinket that I remember, or one of the Jeetzy's Bell or a couple of the other level 80 trinkets that we got whenever the game came out, how awesome it was to get those, it wasn't. It was just like, okay, now I have a really good piece of gear. It was item level 200. It was 200 gear. That's the same level as the 5-man epic drops at the end of the heroics and Naxx 10-man. These items were not these game-changing, amazing things that people got and they had for the entire expansion. That just wasn't even how it was. Even if you didn't get one of those BOE items, and most people didn't, it didn't make a difference. With these legendary items, it will make a difference. If any of the affixes, and those are like the bonus effects that they give, is anything similar to what actually comes out on live, it will be a huge difference. And just by the way that I've been in pugs, I've seen pugs and everything like that, I just, without a shadow of a doubt, I think that it's going to be, if you don't have the legendary items, you're not going to be able to get into guilds. If you don't have the legendary items, you're not going to be able to get into really good pugs. And people say, well, back in the day, you had attunements. Okay, so you could compare the legendary items to attunements, which is, again, a complete bullshit comparison. Because attunements, like, if you were trying to get attuned to Black Temple, go kill Vash, go kill Kale, you're attuned. It's very obvious. It might be very hard to do. Most people never did it, but there's very easy and very direct path to doing it, and also you have to actually do raids to get farther in raids. I don't really see the purpose in killing bears to get farther in raids, and I don't really think that's a bad thing, you know, in like a certain level, but whenever you have to kill bears to get up there in the raids, because like you're gonna need those legendary items, as I said. There's no way, guys, that it's going to be 2 or 3 months into this expansion and people aren't going to be getting declined from raiding guilds because they don't have the legendary items. And I think that's just going to be, that's going to be a tragedy, guys. And it's going to keep more players out of the raiding scene. The raiding scene is already getting smaller and smaller and smaller and more clicky and more of a niche and everything like that. And I think that raiding should only be one small part of the game. There should be many parts of the game, but raiding is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller because of the things that they're doing to try and get more people into raiding have ended up making them, you know, like excluding them from raiding because of what kind of comes out of them with emergent gameplay. And that's what I'm kind of seeing is going to happen with these Legion Legendaries. Now, again, I don't really know. Of course, I don't really know. I can't really, I'm not like Nostradamus, you know, I'm not a wizard. I can't remember, but I can't know in the future what's really going to happen. No, of course, I have no idea. But what I do know is what has happened for the previous two expansions, and if people don't have a class trinket, they're not invited. So it's not just a legendary-only thing. I mean, this is a consistent thing, a consistent problem with making items that are extremely hard to get and just completely RNG-based, and then making them and giving them out to enough people to where it becomes a requirement for raiding rather than a reward into raiding or reward for whatever you're doing. So anyway, guys, I've been kind of like, I don't know, I thought that the items were going to be okay, the legendary items were going to be alright, and then the more that I see, the more changes that I see, like all of these, you know, like different clarifications and extra rules that they're being added on, it just makes me think that Blizzard themselves doesn't really know exactly how these are going to work, and I don't really know what they should do. I mean, should they can the whole idea? I mean, well, it doesn't really matter if they should or not, because it's not going to happen, guys, it's not going to happen. They're dead set on making these RNG elements. They're making all PvP gear RNG based. They're continuing the Warforged system and everything like that with no way to get Warforged, at least they haven't said so far, into Legion. It's full steam ahead with the RNG, you know, loot train. And I'm disappointed. Okay, I really am. And I think it's going to take the fun out of it for a lot of people. You know, a lot of times people would play this game and they could come home and they could say, oh man, if I kill 50 boars for 50 hours, I could get a piece of gear. But now you could kill 50 boars for 500 hours and not get anything. And I think that, you know, taking away that that sense of real progression and that players are really influencing and have agency and control over their own destiny really makes people feel like they're not really playing a game, but they're playing a slot machine. And it just seems like more and more what we're seeing now. It's really disappointing. Hopefully they can make these legendaries connected to something where you can actually farm them out. It does take actual effort and time, and they can still be rewarding, and players can still get something out of them. But it doesn't really seem like that to me. You know, it sucks, but that's where it is. So people have been asking me about legendary items, what I think about them. That's what I think. Okay? Just, there it is. I don't know. Is it going to be okay? Probably not. I just don't really think so. Because just what they're saying, it just doesn't, I just don't think it will. But we'll see what happens. Of course, I'll be showing you guys the items whenever they come out on the beta or the alpha. and, you know, things will evolve from here. But this is what we're seeing right now. These were good changes, but I think that if a system needs that many changes and that many limitations on it, there comes into question whether that system in itself is even a good one to begin with. I think that Blizzard should they should take chances and take, you know, like, do things that are out of the ordinary, and they're absolutely right that, you know, a seven haste upgrade is not as rewarding as, like, a, you know, a class trinket upgrade. They're completely right. But what also is not rewarding is randomly killing a boar and then getting an item that's amazing. Like, there's no reward because there's no correlation between what you did and what you got. If you can't tell somebody they're a winner, okay? They have to feel that way. And the game used to make people feel like they were winners, and I don't think this will. So, lots of reasons why I don't think it's a good idea. A couple of reasons why I think it is, but it seems like they're really emphasizing the reasons that I think it's not a good idea. Anyway, let me know what you think. I'm curious, and maybe there'll be a change, but again, I'm not really expecting it. So, thank you very much for watching, and like, comment, and subscribe.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Wowhead Weekly number 69! Ha! Oh, we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. Some updates with the Legion Alpha, as well as some updates on live servers. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my wonderful co-host, Wowhead Site Manager Perculia.
Hey, everyone. We had a Legion Alpha build this week, and as unusual, because we had one the week before. So, yeah, we suddenly had a lot more news to talk about than we thought earlier this week.
Yes.
So, yeah, the first topic is something that's pretty contentious. So, yeah, let's just get straight into
the updates. Yeah, I'll put up a graphic, and we can talk about it a little bit. I'm not going to talk about every single one of these things, but basically what we found out this week was that the Legion system requirements are going to be different from the Warlords of Draenor system requirements. Now, instead of talking about the requirements, I'm going to talk more about the recommended specification, because I feel like that's a little more necessary than you'd think. For Windows, you'll need Windows 10 up from Windows 7 or 8 to be in the recommended specs. And this is where I think it gets really interesting, is that for Windows, you're going to need an i5-3330 up from an i5-2400 or an AMD FX-6300 up from an AMD FX-4100. For Mac, this was crazy to me. Did you see this, Perk?
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, hmm.
Yeah, for Mac, they now recommend that users have an i5-4670 up from any old i5, and they actually drop support for anything under an i5-750, which seemed like... it's crazy how much higher the requirements in the recommendations are for Mac than they are for PC.
I mean, maybe they're just trying to cover themselves. It's like, well, you can use a potato, but you'll have potato quality.
Yeah. They also changed some requirements as far as your video card. For Windows, they would recommend that you have at least a GTX 750 Ti up from a GTX 470 or an AMD Radeon R7-260X from an ATI Radeon HD 5870. For Mac, they recommend you have a GT 775M from a GT 750M, which that's not a huge difference, or an AMD Radeon R9 M290X from an HD 650M. Macs are recommended to have 8 GB of RAM up from 4 GB, and 4 GB is actually now the minimum amount of RAM that you can have on a Mac, whereas Windows, you can still have 2 GB of RAM, but it's probably going to run like a toaster.
I understand why the Mac stuff is sort of more higher requirements. Like, I usually find that, you know, my computers are fairly up to date, and I use a Mac, but then, like, when I'm always running the beta, it's whenever they do, like, their big system upgrades, it runs a little creaky. Like, you know, I can't play in ultra or, like, high mode all the time. I have to put it down to, you know, fair, and it's still a little choppy. So, yeah, I mean, I do understand where they're coming from, because, sometimes...
I wonder if it's just the way that Mac OS X works. Like, I don't know. Both Windows and Mac will require 45 gigabytes of drive space, up from 35 gigabytes, and this was one that I didn't quite understand.
I didn't either.
It said that Windows and Mac computers will both require a DVD ROM drive, even though, of course, you can order the digital versions. Most people do. I don't know why it would be requiring that. I don't know if it's something to do with maybe a driver, like there's a driver requirement or something. I don't really know, but it did say that that was a recommended thing, that you should have a DVD-ROM drive, even though it is a downloadable game. So I found that confusing.
Yeah, another thing that caused some confusion is that when the page was first updated on the Blizzard support site, it said at the top that the requirements for Legion were like, much more than they were for Warlord, so a lot of people started panicking, and apparently that was an error and, like an old placeholder thing, and it's now been removed from the site, but it definitely influenced, I think, how a lot of people saw these requirements when, you know, like, Blizzard makes it sound very doom and gloom before you actually see them.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a bigger deal if you have an older Mac than an older PC.
Yeah.
But the video card recommendation is a pretty decent video card, so you're still, like, gonna need a pretty beefy computer to play WoW, but I feel like you need a beefy computer now to play WoW, so I feel like if you're playing WoW now on high or ultra, like, you should be fine. Even medium, you should be fine. But if you're playing on low right now, you may want to go over the specifications to make sure that you're in a place where you will be able to play the game, to see if you need to upgrade anything before release. Do any of those things affect you?
I don't think they do, but I might want to look into upgrades anyway, just because, you know, I...
Who
it's annoying when I'm playing
upgrades?
On, like... Yeah, I mean, if I'm playing on fair, it's like, well, this is annoying for screenshots, like, and I need to, like, stop and turn them up and then turn them down again so I can move after I finish doing something on the alphas. So, yeah, maybe that'll be an excuse to look into some upgrades. Who knows?
Oops. So, now, do you want to talk a little bit about the more, you want to talk a little bit about the new build that launched this week?
Sure. So, there was a new alpha build, which we got, was it even yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yeah, it was really recently.
It's pretty fast after the last one. Usually we have, like, a few weeks in between builds, and then, like, the alpha just went down for, like, a month over the Christmas. And because it was pretty fast after the other one, there weren't as many changes because there was less time to do things, so there weren't any new specializations or zones open to test. But they did listen to some feedback, and some specs that had big changes were Fury Warriors, Marksmanship Hunters, and Ret Paladins, and you can see that sort of information on our spell data patch changes, as well as on the talent calculator. Some cool items we found, there is a new mage toy called the Dalaran Initiates Pin, and this replicates the effects of the Tome of Dalaran Brilliance, which, you know, changed Arcane Brilliance into the little Dalaran symbol above your head. And they added the toy because, like, all raid buffs are being removed in Legion, so, you know, that's going away because Arcane Brilliance is going away. So I thought it was nice how they just, you know, you can replicate the cosmetic effect, and it's sold by the same vendor who would sell you the Tome and Dalaran, so I thought that was neat. There's also some leatherworking toys, the Flaming Hoop, Leather Pet Bed, and Leather Pet Leash, so... Yeah, that leatherworking has some more interesting stuff, because it was kind of one of the boring ones I found in Warlords of Draenor, just sort of, you know, you make leather and mail gear, and it looks kind of boring.
Yeah.
This was cool, which I just added to the notes now. There is a new world boss, and it's a storm dragon, and we previously have shown those really awesome-looking mounts, and his name is Nithog, and it's a tribute to Norse mythology, and people are speculating that we're going to see... you know, a storm dragon mount drop from him because we have data mined those models and, like, you know, every other world boss drops a mount, so it makes sense that this guy would as well. And he looks really... Yeah, he's in storm and he's, like, blue and sparkly and he's very cool.
Yeah, and we all want that mount, like, being honest.
Yeah.
And it would be super cool if he dropped different variations of the mount. Like, I know three or four different have been data mined.
Yeah.
Like, it would be super cool if he dropped three or four different ones because it would give you incentive to continue going back, like, even if you got the mount already.
Yeah, so this is, there is, as usual, there's always a bunch of, like, global strings, and this one was interesting. There's apparently an option to select larger nameplates for your UI, so that's a nice quality of life change. This next one is really funny. Professions are not totally done yet, but we keep getting a few recipes each time, and there are new transmutes for Alchemist, and basically you can turn one type of reagent into another, and some of them just sound really funny, like transmute fish to gems, which is you transmute broken Isle's fish into gems.
Okay. And
this is the best one. It's transmute meat to pants.
Yes! Meat pants!
Yes.
Yes!
And apparently it means you just turn cooking materials into, I guess,
it
pants,
means meat
which
pants.
Are like enchanting dust and crystals.
We know what it means.
Yes. It sounded very funny. And then there was a few tailoring things, and I'm not exactly sure what they do because the initial quest for tailoring is bugged for me, but there are these clothing chests and for, like, Karazhan Opera House and Molten Core, and apparently you make these chests and you put them down and your raid can do something with it, so Maybe there's like a
temporary transform. Is it like a raid wide costume or something?
I think so.
Oh my god. That's the best. That's the best. So we're super excited to talk about this next thing. This was something we made sure that we added in like last night at like 1 in the morning. But there's some new models of some Nightborne male and female citizens. So I made a cool slideshow of them because they are awesome. They don't really look like anything NPC-wise that we have in the game right now. Like, they have, see, she's got, like, a pouch, and they've got, like, all different, like, all their armor is unique, and it's layered, and it just looks a lot more, I don't know, is sophisticated the right word?
It looks realistic. I mean, this stuff looks a lot more, it feels down to earth, but more unique and realistic than, say, Quest Group, for example, just how they have, like, jackets on top of their shirts, or they've got, like, you know, I hope that we face the top of skirts and
the one we just saw a second ago, she had a cape that draped over her shoulders and over her head. Dear Lord, if we get a piece of gear that looks like that, I will be beside
myself. I know, those tier 19 capes, can't they drape over our head like Diablo-style cloaks?
Please, and I love all the vials and containers and pouches and...
Yeah, I want my rogue to have, you know, a poison pouch thing on her, like, I'm jealous of these Nightborne.
These earrings are cool, too. I can't stop the slideshow, I'm sorry, we don't have the technology, but they have earrings that I've not seen before either. Granted, I don't play a Night Elf, so I'm not that familiar, but they're like
chains. Yeah, we have no earrings. Yeah.
That's so cool. I hope that this is indicative that they have more ideas for gear in the future. Because I love the look of, like, all this gear looks like it goes together. It looks like it's from the same place, but it's so vastly different. They're not just, like, copied and pasted and recolored. I mean,
The layering effects. Like, it's like, oh, someone has the same shirt, but they have a flowy skirt. Another one has the pants. And another one has the robe, but it has the cape on top or, like, half of the cape. And they just fit together really well.
Oh, and guys, this is maybe 10% of the models. Like, that's... Yeah. Like, I went through and I picked out 12, and I really think there were close to 100, maybe more than 100.
Yeah.
So, and they're all different. They all are different variations of colors, and, like, it's like there's probably 12 different things between the pants and the chest and the belt and the this and the that. And it's, like, every variation of those that could be, like, some of them have one pouch, some of them have a pouch on both sides, some of them have pouches and vials. It's super, super cool. So I hope that we see some gear like that for us in the future. I really liked...
I want to drop from Suramor, like, if the, like, Nightborne is Suramor and we're gonna go to that raid, like, I want cosmetics that's like
me
this.
Me too, or, like, a toy that makes you, like, turn into them or something. But,
exactly.
At the beginning of Warlords, that you could, well, I guess you can still get it now, but the transmog set for cloth wearers that's from the, armor scraps, what, is that the...
Oh, the armory, the dwarven war mill.
Yeah, yeah, so...
The shadow... Shadowmoon Tribe.
Yeah. So the belt used to be awesome. It used to have, like, satchels and, like a dagger and, like, all this stuff hanging off of it. And they had clipping issues with different models. Like, on some models, it looked fine. But then on other models, I think Pandas was a problem. It would, like, clip funny. So they removed all the doodads from the belt. And it was really upsetting. It was, like, a very sad day for cloth wearers that transmog that everywhere. So I'm hoping that when we see stuff like this, it means that they figured those issues out. And that we'll see more stuff like that in the future for us. So I have another slideshow of models for us to view. And... this was very exciting for me. As a dinosaur lover, I was really excited to see all this. This is the new Falcosaurus model. It's like a tropical raptor bird. It has feathers and talons. There's four different colors, and there are mount, pet, and NPC variations, and they're amazing. And you could tame the NPC variation. You could ride the mount, and you could have the pet. The last two things you're seeing there are the additional infernal mount colors, which we saw the infernal mounts last week. Those are the ice and lava variants, and these are some of the coolest models I think we've seen so far on the alpha. Honestly, I love these little raptors.
I love how the battle pet versions of the raptors are, like, slightly cuter than the mount version. And, like, they just have these, like, slight tweaks to them. And, yeah, I look forward to seeing hunters that have a whole little Falcosaurus
family. The whole little set,
because
they're all
them.
In the same color scheme. It's so clever. Yep. They're going to look awesome with trolls. Like, if you have a troll hunter, I feel like this is really great. But I love the idea of, like, the feathers and stuff, because that is historically sound. I mean, there were dinosaurs with feathers. Yeah. There were little raptors with feathers. So I really like it. I think it's super cool. I like the color variations, and I'm going to collect all the pets. I know, that's shocking to everybody.
Surprise.
Surprise, surprise. And then also, there were some new mounts and models added to the database.
Yeah, so a lot of the times we'll be able to preview, you know, a model like we did just now, but that's not actually added to the database yet, like the mount page. Mm-hmm. But they added a bunch of them, including the Falcosaurus mounts, and then some older ones, like that really cute fox that zigzags around, yeah, and the really creepy spider mount.
Gross.
So that means that you can, like, hit up that page on Wowhead and, like, open up in the model viewer, or you can go to the Legion dressing room, and where it has that choose mount option at the bottom left side, you can select the Legion mounts now and see what your own character looks like riding these new mounts around.
I'm gonna go ride an Infernal. I'm super
excited.
There
are 5 Infernal mounts now. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of Infernal.
I think it's gonna be rep. I think that the Infernals are gonna come from some sort of rep.
Yeah.
Just because of the different variations of them, that's just a thought that I have. I hope. That's my favorite way to go get mounts. You grind out a rep, you work really hard for a couple weeks, then you get like 6 mounts. Just making it rain mounts. That's my thing. Anyways, last week we talked a little bit about legendary items, and people expressed mighty concern about that. Because, you know, when you hear about all these items that have these crazy...
And there's dozens of them, and you're like, oh my god.
Yeah, like this is going to be so bad. Yeah, which I'm really glad that they addressed this now before people went into full, like, pitchfork panic mode.
Yeah.
And I think the most important thing to know is that you will be capped at 1 equipped legendary at the beginning of the X-Pack, and as the expansion moves on, you will be able to equip more and more and more. So you're not going to have to worry about, for the first raid, having, like, these crazy requirements of, like, 6 legendaries and a full set of gear in order to get into a raid. You can only possibly equip 1, which means that you can keep farming and trying to get that ideal one without having to feel like, I don't know. I think that's a good compromise.
And they also said that legendaries would be rare drops, and I know last week we were speculating if they would be kind of easy to get because there were so many, but they clarified that they would be hard to get, and by implementing that equipped cap at the start of the expansion, it ensures that super lucky people wouldn't have a huge advantage.
Because, yeah.
Like, that would be pretty OP if you missed out. And
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And that I think that was already known. Now, do we know if... I'm sorry, cat stampede. Do we know if legendaries will drop, like, class-specific? Like, if you get a legendary, is it going to be for you? Or could you theoretically get any legendary? Do we know that yet?
We don't know. I don't think they're implemented yet because, like, a level 110 isn't unlocked yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I believe that there will be OP, so it would be a huge waste if...
That's,
you know,
what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So hopefully they will be something that you can use. And then I also wonder how that will work if you play an off-spec. I wonder if you'll...
Right.
Like, this expansion, of course, you can choose what loot specialization
maybe,
you want.
I mean, maybe loot specialization, so you have to, like, keep that in mind as you're just killing mobs in the world. Maybe.
Yeah. Anyways, what else?
So legendaries, they also addressed how the issue of mythic progression in raids and how legendaries are likely going to be disabled in raids for the first few weeks of mythic progression, which means that you could equip it and get the base stats, and it would be cool to have, like, an item that has a high item level, but the procs would not be enabled until they thought it was not sort of a huge, you know, boost. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also were talking about how they're meant to be interesting upgrades like the Archimon trinkets, and that, like, loot in World of Warcraft has kind of felt more safe over time. You know, like, your bracer has, like, 90 intellect, and then you get one with 105 intellect, and that's an upgrade, and you put it on, but they don't think it's very fun
that
way.
It's not exciting, for sure. Yeah.
And they'd rather have, like, a legendary or something like a trinket where it modifies an ability in an interesting way. And, you know, instead of comparing stats for an upgrade, you're like, oh, like, this will transform my playstyle and make me do something cool or, like, think about my class more. You know, like, they think that's more of a fun, exciting upgrade. And they're sort of being nostalgic how, you know, in vanilla, like, you would get a hand of Edward the Odd in some crate in the middle of nowhere and it would be totally awesome and you couldn't play on it. And then you would, like, build, like, a spec around that. So they're trying to get back to that excitement. And again, it ties into Diablo, you know, it's like you, if you want to play a certain way, like some legendaries augment that playstyle because they buff specific abilities.
I know those feels. I think it's funny, too, because the example they used were Archimonde trinkets. And Archimonde trinkets, I feel like, were so polarizing. Like, you either needed the Archimonde trinket so badly and you didn't want any other trinket, or you were like, eh, it's okay.
Yeah, I feel like by having every slot have variations, though, like, that gets rid of,
absolutely.
Like, you know, if you're like, meh, well, like, my new gloves are, like, blah, but, you know, I really want the legendary helm. Like, you know, I think that's a better design than just being like, well, all the loot from Hellfire Citadel is boring, except for this trinket.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I was agreeing with you completely. Yeah. I think it's nice that there'll be more items like that, because right now, like, for example, like, the Archimonde trinket for a Resto Shaman gives you a chance for an extra Riptide to be cast on another character. But in a fight like Gorefiend, you don't want random healing going out, because there are times when you're sacrificing people and they need to die, so you can't be that jerk healer that healed someone on accident. So I really like that we're going to have more situations where, oh, I think I'll change my trinket, or maybe I'll use those gloves at this time, especially if you're capped to one legendary equipped at the beginning, because then if you have, say, three, you can sit there and be like, okay, which one am I going to use for this fight? And a lot of people were really disappointed that they were taking away major glyphs, and I feel like this is another way of having a major glyph-esque situation without
and it's
being
it
so mandatory.
Fun. Yeah. It's not like, well, these are my three core abilities. I have to put this glyph on them or
exactly.
Else.
I think this is I think this seems a lot of fun, and I really like the idea of, you know, well, if I get these gloves, I can do this really fun spec. Like, I used to play a mage for a while and I loved Frostfire Bolt. I think it's like the prettiest spell in the entire game. But there's really never been a time where it was viable to use Frostfire Bolt in your main rotation unless it proc'd or this, that, or the other thing. But, you know, with a situation like this, there might be gloves or boots that make Frostfire Bolt the exact same as Frostbolt, and then you can use the pretty spell all the time. So I'm into this. I think it's really cool, and I'm excited to learn more as we get closer and closer to Legion. So I think we are going to head out. Yeah. That is everything we had to talk about today. Before I leave, of course, I want to thank everybody who has subscribed to us on Twitch, everybody who comes and follows us and watches the show live. Thank you so much for subscribing to us on YouTube, liking our videos, watching them when they go live. And most of all, thank you to anybody who subscribes to WoWhead Premium. That, of course, is a premium account to WoWhead that will remove all the ads from the website, as well as give you customizable Today in Draenor quest tracking, as well as a special color when you talk, like, in the comments section, along with lots of other things. Plus, it directly supports WoWhead. So thank you for all of those things. We are going to go. I hope that you all have a wonderful weekend. We'll be here next week, same bat time, same bat channel. That's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/WoWhead. We are going to go, and we'll talk to you soon. Yep. Bye, guys. Bye.
Hello, my name is Grant Negus, and today I would like to conclude my look at the scaling feature that we have been getting to see in World of Warcraft and with the outlook into the future. Last week I talked to you about how Blizzard wants to implement the scaling into the Legion zones, and I talked about potentially getting the time walking feature extended to Pandaria dungeons, which I really would like, since they are really nice dungeons and I think that they could be a nice addition for the rotation. As to what might happen after that, we really don't know. The dungeon weekend for Legion will probably be added, and depending on what kind of tech they have already implemented, we might get a time-walking Warlords of Draenor pretty fast. But again, that's my guess. I'm not sure as to what tech needs to be implemented and what has already been implemented to ensure that that's a thing. Now, on the other hand, or rather on the other end of this entire thing, I would love to see them going back to vanilla content and add a vanilla time walking week and have them do a kind of, how should I put this, contest maybe? Or a poll rather? Yeah, I think a poll would be the word here to use. As to the community to choose the top 5 favorite instances in the game, and then have Blizzard add those top 5 results to the feature that would become Time Walking Vanilla. One nice thing that would mean would be that we could finally use our beloved vanilla legendaries again, just as we can use the legendaries that we obtained throughout the various expansions, and have their specialness be shining again. And I really think that is a thing that is overdue. Granted, yes, you can use several of the vanilla legendaries now to a lesser extent in the Burning Crusade Time Walking Week, but its full potential is not really given, since it is one expansion beyond that, which is current content for the respective items. So I would really like to see Blizzard implement this feature, Time Walking Vanilla. As for my top 5, let's stick with top 5 for now. I know there are more than 5 dungeons in a rotation of any given time walking, but I would say that Blizzard has to take into account that there are various issues for dungeons that can be added to the time walking. For instance, my top 3 dungeons will never be added to time walking, I would say, because their sheer length. And yeah, that's a thing that I find sad, but that's the way that the game has changed over the years, is in dungeon length. So my top 3 are BRD, definitely up there, and the 2 Stratholm instances. I would really, really love to see those 3 dungeons be added to Time Walking. All 3 of them are too long, they have too many bosses, and way too much trash to fight through. If Blizzard decides that they want to go with that, regardless of the time it takes to defeat these bosses and have it be a monstrous thing of hours-long fighting, I'm all for that. I love it. I would take it immediately and run with it as far as I could, since I really, really love those 3 instances. As for 2 others, maybe low-level dungeons or lower-level dungeons, since the Deadmines have been reworked in Cataclysm, I don't see that they will add that again, because it's a Cata rework and they will not add that to a normal vanilla content dungeon Time Walking Weekend. One dungeon comes to mind though, and that is Black Fathom Deep, because that has been reworked together with a couple of other dungeons at the beginning of Warlords of Draenor, and I still haven't found anyone that could explain to me why that has been changed in the way that it has. In short, it has been changed to a setting where a old god of undetermined name gained influence in the setting of the dungeon. And with the upcoming Naga part in Legion, I can very much see that is going to play a, be it minor role, but still be a role in the expansion. So I could see that if Blizzard decide to go ahead with the vanilla time walking, that dungeon with the new focus, relatively new since it's one expansion old, but still the new take on it, that might be a thing, and we get a little more story and explanation for the changes, same as we got with Ragefire Chasm back in Pandaria, where it was just there and no one really said anything about why it was there, and it was to be explained sometime later. But in lore, it was explained in the Siege of Orgrimmar to some extent, but why the extended dungeon down there has been changed, we never really got a definite explanation, only the thing that Garrosh had done some experiments and Yeah, that was pretty much it. So I really would think that with regards to the Black Fathom Deep instance, that might be a similar thing. Again, maybe in a expansion too late, but still, we still need explanations for that. Yeah, that's the thing with the dungeons and the potential time walking. Now, you're asking yourself, will we see an extension of the tech into the general world of Warcraft, where we even might get to see a general leveling, scaling into all of the other zones? I would say definitely no, because for one, I'm thinking a hell lot of work to implement that, and for the other part, it is taking away from the current max level content. If you are going to scale the entire world, you could go and play in the zones that you want to, rather in the end level zones that you should, because with the old tech, let's call it that, the tech that is live at the moment, you are forced to play the newest expansion content to reach max level, because you need to gain the experience, you need to gain the mats to level your professions and all that. That's a thing that Blizzard has decided to do. And as long as they are going to say that we want to stick to that mindset, it will never change. If they one day decide to change it and to say it doesn't matter to us whether you level your tune in this or that area, you can go and choose to have vanilla whatever, let's just say Tearsfall Glades for that matter, be your end level zone where you ding 120, let's put it that way, and not have it work out with Legion yet. But if there is to be a level 120 sometime in an 8.0, then you could choose to level your final quest in Tearsfall Glades or in Westfall or wherever you want to go as a last zone to gain your last few points of experience, because everything scales, just as I said last week, around the character. It's an interesting prospect to see what possibilities we have, definitely. Would it be a little strange? Yes, definitely. Would it be interesting to see what paths people follow? Most definitely, yes. I would like to see what people choose, what path people choose if they had a free range of all the zones that the World of Warcraft has to offer. And I'm really interested in seeing that, yes. I haven't really thought about what zones I would choose, but if you guys out there have a kind of favorite set of zones that you like to play in, and let's say that a tech like what I just mentioned was available, where you pretty much made your way to any of the zones. Of course, the one thing that would make it accessible is to have the attunement quest chains work as well. So you would have to gain flying to access the special zones, the high level Wrath of the Lich King zones, as well as the Cataclysm zones, most of them anyway, because you cannot get to everything, because those two level zones that are Storm Peaks and Ice Crown, as well as for one, you would have Deep Horn where you need flying. You need a level, I would say 20 or 40 to play in Vashir, because you need the mount, the riding mount, and you need you pretty much need a flying mount for any of the other zones in Cataclysm besides the Vashir zone. So taking that into account, what kind of set, let's say the top 10 zones, would you like to play through to level if you had to choose and pick the top 10, if you could play them in whatever order you wanted? I'm interested to see what people say. You can send it in to me via email, towerofcommerce@gmail.com, or you can tweet me with a list of a couple of them at least, at GrandNegus1, or you can write into the show and have Juno read out your response. That would be corpserunradio@gmail.com. With that, I'm leaving you guys for this week. Thanks for listening and have a good week. This has been Grand Negus, Rule of Acquisition, number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
Hello, everyone. Last week, we began the story of Vol'jin, in which we talked about how he became a shadow hunter, how he became the leader of his tribe, and how the Darkspear joined the Horde and reclaimed their isles. Vol'jin received several visions during his trials with Alola. All of them have come true so far, but more is on the horizon. Let's begin, shall we? Just before the Cataclysm, the world of Azeroth cried out in pain, and Thrall knew he had to go to Outland to learn from the elements there and find out what is going on. He decided to make Garrosh leader of the Horde while he was away, despite people like Cairn and even Garrosh himself telling Thrall that this was a very bad idea. The Orc Shaman had made his choice though. He left the Horde behind to save the world while telling Garrosh that he would not have to do it alone. He had advisors like Eitrick and Vol'jin at his side, but right at the start, things don't seem to go that smooth between Garrosh and Vol'jin. In-game, we saw a conversation about Thrall leaving the Horde behind, and Vol'jin mentioned that the people were very happy about the success in Northrend. Garrosh quickly said, "Our success? Troll, you played no part in the Horde's victories in Northrend. While I led the warriors against the Lich King, you merely took back a few scattered isles." "Watch yourself, young one. You don't." Eitrick told them to hold their tongues and that there were larger issues at stake, but this small conversation was a hint of things to come. The Twilight Hammer cult attacked a meeting of druids, both Tarn and Night Elves, and word of this attack reached Cairn, chieftain of the Tauren. They didn't know that the attack was planned by the Twilight Hammer. They thought that the attack was an order of Garrosh. So Cairn confronted the war chief, and this led to them entering the arena and fight in Makura, a duel to the death for leadership of the Horde.
"Garrosh, you are not fit to rule the Horde."
As was tradition, both fighters had their weapons blessed by a shaman, and Garrosh foolishly agreed to have Megafa Grimtoden bless Gorhal. Megafa had waited for an opportunity to betray Cairn, and she used Garrosh like a puppet. She poisoned his weapon Gorhal without his knowledge, and Cairn died betrayed in the arena. After this, Megafa quickly moved to take Vunderbluff, while Cairn's son Bane was luckily warned and able to leave the city. Garrosh was celebrating his victory during all of this, oblivious to how he was used, until Eitrick confronted him and showed him the truth. People like Eitrick and Vol'jin were very suspicious about how the fight went down. Cairn was actually winning the duel until Garrosh hit him only once, and the poison did the rest. Megafa had taken what was most precious to Garrosh, his honor, and she was foolish enough to believe that the warchief would be happy with her actions. He gladly left her to her fate while Bane regrouped. Now Bane, he didn't know who to trust at this point, right? He didn't know if Garrosh was working together with Megafa, and although they expected the Darkspear to be loyal, there were simply not that many Darkspear trolls. They needed help though to reclaim their city, so instead of turning to the Horde, they turned towards Jaina Proudmoore, who helped Bane by giving him some of her own finances, which they used to buy supplies that they needed to retake the city and banish Megafa and all those who allied with her. Bane could have chosen to challenge Garrosh to Makura after the events, but he decided that that was not the best path for his people. He was not going to waste his energy on revenge when they could use it to rebuild, and Garrosh promised Bane the full protection and support of the Hordes. The Cataclysm hit the world of Azeroth in full, and even though Garrosh and Bane were able to shake hands for the good of the Horde, things between Vol'jin and Garrosh did not go so smooth.
Exiled years ago from their lands in Stranglethorn Vale, the Darkspear Trolls attempted to make a new life for themselves amongst the disparate races of the Horde. Under the leadership of the noble war chief Thrall, Vol'jin and his savage trolls had at last found the honor and purpose they had been searching for. But now, under the rule of the headstrong Garrosh Hellscream, the trolls fear that the Horde could tear itself apart. Vol'jin knows that whatever threats loom ahead, whether they be from within the Horde or from without, it is cunning trolls like you who will fight to preserve the honor of the Horde.
As new troll players enter the game, they're eventually sent to talk to Vol'jin, and he explains what went down between him and the new warchief.
"I have something to show you. It'd be easier to understand if you see it yourself."
"Don't talk back to me, troll. You know who was left in charge here.
Haven't you stopped to ask yourself why Thrall chose me instead of you?
There be no question why, Garrosh. He gave you the title because you be Grom's son. And because the people be wanting a war hero. I think you be more like your father than you thought. Even without the demon blood.
You are lucky that I don't got you right here, whelp. You are foolish to think you can speak to your war chief in such ways.
You'll be no war chief of mine. You'll not earn my respect, and I'll not be seeing the Horde destroyed by your foolish thirst for war.
And what exactly do you think you're going to do about it? Your threats are hollow. Go slink away with the rest of your kind to the slums. I will endure your filth in my throne room no longer!
I know exactly what I'll be doing about it, son, Hellscream. I'll watch and wait as your people slowly become aware of your ineptitude. I'll laugh as they grow to despise you, as I do. And when that time comes, that your failure is complete and your power is meaningless, I will be there to end your rule, swiftly and silently. You will spend your reign glancing over your shoulder and fearing the shadows. For when the time comes and your blood be slowly draining out, you will know exactly who fired the arrow that pierced your black heart.
You have sealed your fate, troll.
And you yours, war chief.
The Dark Spear never gonna give
up. The Dark Spear are here because I led them here. Orgrimmar be no home, long as it be under Hellscream's hand. Still I fear I was letting my temper drive me to being rash. Thrall devoted himself to making the Horde what it is. So I've no eagerness to be leaving it on a whim. This will be needing much more thought.
Vol'jin has no love for Garrosh. He threatens his warchief and he leads his people out of Orgrimmar just as the visions had shown him. Perhaps his temper had driven him to be rash though, and leaving the Horde is not a decision to be made on a whim. As Vol'jin ponders the situation, we continue our questing until we'll eventually call to war and get vengeance for Senjin. The Sea Witch that ordered the Murlocs to sacrifice Vol'jin's father drove them out of their isles has returned. It turns out that it wasn't a Sea Witch at all, it was actually a Naga, something that can be killed, so with Vol'jin leading the charge, we confront Jarjeera.
You were foolish to come here, Sea Witch. You escaped our vengeance once, but the Dark Spear tribe will not abide your trespassing again.
You are weak, Vol'jin, like your father was weak. Today, I will finish what I started long ago. The Dark Spear shall be wiped from existence!
Take care of our spirits. We be underlings of Jira.
You were a fool to touch my fires! When Vol'jin falls, you know who dies next.
I'll get the fires this time!
The spirits be restless.
Not so fast! Thunny!
No! No!
It be done. Our ancient enemy is defeated. I've been waiting a long time for a chance to avenge my father. A great weight has been lifted from my shoulders. I must be returning to Darkspear Hold. Please, meet me there once Vanira is done with her healing of the boy.
I'm afraid there's nothing I can do for our brother. Her power tore away at his soul.
Zuni is dead, and despite Volzin thinking that the troll can be healed, the Sea Witch's power tore away at his soul, and there's no saving him. His body will be recovered for a proper farewell as we meet up with Volzin, who uses the power unleashed when the Sea Witch died to communicate with Thrall from a long distance and discuss the current situation of the Horde.
I've no love for Garrosh, that much is sure. But leaving the Horde is not a decision I be taking lightly. There's only one with the answers I seek. You can stay and watch if you like. Volgin, it's good to see you, brother. Thrall, I'm glad you be well. There were rumors otherwise. Indeed, someone did try to kill me. But that is not my greatest concern at this moment. The world itself calls for my aid. I must beg your counsel, my friend. I can't be standing by Garrosh while he be turning our people against each other for the sake of war. My respect for you does not extend to this new horde. I'm thinking of leading my people away. Volgin, I chose Garrosh because he has the strength to lead our people in these trying times. For all my supposed wisdom, there have been moments that I've barely been able to hold the Horde together. The Wrathgate and Undercity displayed that clearly enough. The Horde cries for a hero of old. An orc of true blood that will bow to no human and bear no betrayal. A warrior that will make our people proud again. Garrosh can be that hero. I did not make this decision lightly, Volgin. I know our alliances will suffer for it. I know the Horde will be irreversibly changed. But I made this choice with confidence that Garrosh is exactly what the Horde needs. I'm trusting you and the other leaders not to let this divide our people. You are stronger than that. I understand, brother. I will think on this and be troubling you no further. You have a world to be saving. Thromkar, old friend. You be strong and proud, young blood. The Dark Spear will be honored to have you fight beside him. These be dark times, but our people will be staying with the Horde for the good of all. Thrall's words be true. They always be. The Horde is much more than just a few old stubborn leaders and a handful of heroes from Northrend. The people be crying Garrosh's name, at least for now. Still, I be hoping Thrall will return to us one day. The future right now be looking very grim and very bloody.
Volgin and the Darkspear tribe will stay with the Horde, at least for now, and adventurers, they're sent away to join the many battles fought across the world in the wake of the Cataclysm. In the meantime, the Zandalari, led by King Rastakhan and Prophet Zul, they've come to unite the Trolls into a single mighty empire. With the aid of the Zandalari, the fallen capitals of the Gurubashi and the Mari nations, Zul'Gurub and Zul'Aman respectively, they're already rebuilding, they're replenishing their forces for a bloody campaign to expand their territories. All tribes were invited to join them, invited to the meeting, including the Darkspear tribe.
Our kind faces extinction. Trolls once ruled the mightiest empire this world has ever seen. Yet look at you now. Zul'Drak has already fallen to the Scourge. Its gods consumed as death descended on its people. Zul'Farrakh, once the shining jewel of Tanaris, is now nothing but a wasteland. Divided, you are weak. But we, Zandalari, can offer you a future undreamed of. Jindal of the Gurubashi, would you see the greatness of Zul'Gurub restored? Join us, and the Zandalari will make it so. Dakara of the Amani, summon your followers to Zul'Aman. Together, we will make Zul'Jin's murderers weep for mercy. Brothers,
Hear us now! We Zandalari have returned to reclaim the former glory of our people. To see trolls retake the lands that are rightfully ours. And to crush any foolish enough to stand in our way. From the wreckage of the Cataclysm, the Troll Empire will rise again! Vol'jin of the Dark Spear, you would turn your back on your own people?
The Horde is my people. If it be war you bring, then I stand against you.
So be it, Darkspear.
Vol'jin will not join the other tribes in this war, and he goes around warning both the Alliance and the Hordes. Now, to understand the next part in the story better, I think it's a good idea to take a step back and talk a little bit about the Troll history. The earliest known Troll tribe is called the Zandalari. There were different levels within their tribe. You had the poor, the rich, the powerful, the intelligent. There was a caste system in place, and over time, those castes, they evolved into separate breed of Trolls. Most of the Zandalari were into acquiring knowledge and preserving their history, but a significant portion wanted to conquer the world. They left the Zandalari tribe behind to create their own tribes, and the Zandalari were perfectly fine with that. They saw it as children trying out a youthful rebellion who would eventually come back to beg for the Zandalari approval. But the Trolls, they did not return. Instead, two distinct Troll empires emerged. You had the Amani and the Gurubashi tribes. The Amani were forest trolls, whereas the Gurubashi were jungle trolls. Now, over time, from these two massive tribes, a lot of smaller tribes would emerge. For example, the Darkspear tribe, they fall under the jungle troll category. There are more categories, though. You have the ice trolls, the sand trolls, the dark trolls. The dark trolls that eventually evolved into night elves, who became high elves, who become blood elves. But that's a whole different story, though. Let's focus on this right now. Now, the history of the Gurubashi is that they started to worship Hakkar the Soul Flayer. And at first, the Zandalari were very happy for the Gurubashi, that they were doing very well and that they were expanding their territory. But they soon figured out that Hakkar was not a being to ally yourself with, so action had to be taken. The Zandalari moved out, the avatar of Hakkar was destroyed, and the priest that worshipped him, the Atalai and the Hakkari, they were hunted to near extinction. After their defeat, the different jungle troll tribes started to fight amongst each other, and it was around this time that the Darkspear tribe, they split off from the Gurubashi Empire and they moved away. Now, a few survivors of the Atalai and the Hakkari, they escaped into the Swamp of Sorrows, where they built the Temple of Atal Hakkar, and they tried to summon Hakkar once more. The Green Dragon Aspect Ysira found out about their plans, and she smashed their temple, which is why we now call it the Sunken Temple. They left some green dragons behind to guard the place, but there was no need, since Hakkar could not be summoned within the Sunken Temple. He can only be summoned within their ancient capital of the Gurubashi Empire, namely Zul'Gurub. The remaining Atalai and Hakkari, they send a number of their most skilled priests to Zul'Gurub. They re-summon Hakkar, and under the leadership of Jindo, they manage to enslave 5 high priests of the Trolls' primal gods, forcing them to channel their power into Hakkar. This is why heroes of the Alliance and Horde were called to go into Zul'Gurub to team up with the Zandalari, and we brought the enslaved priests as well as the Soul Flayer down. Now for the Amani, things didn't go great either. First, there were the Troll Wars, where the Amani fought with the High Elves, who had built their city of Quel'Thalas upon sacred troll grounds. The Amani Empire was big and powerful, and despite having the powers of the Sunwell at their side, the High Elves clearly needed help. They teamed up with the humans led by Foradin of Arafor, and together they shattered the Amani Empire, ending the Troll Wars. Some of the Forest Trolls decided to move away from Quel'Thalas for their own safety, but the Amani tribe, they sneered at such cowardice. They fought on until many years later, Zul'jin teamed up with the Horde during their first invasion of Azeroth. He believed that together with the Horde, they would be able to finally claim their vengeance upon the Elves, but quite the opposite happened. The Alliance of Lordaeron was formed, and they were able to defeat the Horde, to which Zul'jin was captured. They cut out his eye, he cut off his own arm to escape, to which he fled to Zul'aman, where they decided to seal some of the essences of their mighty troll animal gods in their strongest of champions, and they kept fighting with their ancient enemy. This enemy started to call themselves Blood Elves, in honor of those who had fallen to Arthas and the Scourge, and Zul'jin's crusade against the Elves would be stopped by a very unexpected development. The Horde, now under the leadership of Thrall, they had accepted the Blood Elves within their ranks, and now Zul'jin was done with all of them.
I spit on the Horde!
He planned to take down everyone. Humans, elves, orcs, alliance and horde, all alike. And of course, we couldn't let this happen. Heroes were sent in to take care of the Imani, but as we saw in the trailer, there are still enough trolls left to put up a fight, especially when they unite under one banner, especially under the leadership of the Zandalari. The world had to unite against these threats, so Vol'jin, he sent out his emissary Wemba to both the Alliance and the Horde to warn them about what's going on within the jungle of Stranglethorn. We join Wemba as she's trying to find and help Vol'jin, who's already gone ahead to warn the people, as well as give a warning of our own. Throughout the questline, we encounter several of the bosses within Zul Group who've been going around Stranglethorn causing all kinds of trouble with snakes and zombies and panthers, until we finally encounter Vol'jin in Booty Bay. We have to go into the old city of Zul Group. We have to take down the trolls inside until we face off against Jindo himself.
Now, have a taste of Jindo's true power!
Your deceit is unforgivable, Jindo. You spit in the face of a god.
Now known as Jindo the Godbreaker, he has not only managed to come back from the dead, he has also chained Hakkar the Soulflayer, forcing him to give up his power. There are a lot of great and primitive gods in the world, but Hakkar is amongst the darkest of them all, and you don't mess with such a god. We break the chains, we liberate Hakkar, and we let him take care of the rest.
You overstepped your bounds, Jindo. You toy with powers that are beyond you. Have you forgotten who I am? Have you forgotten what I can do? No! Be freed, insects. I will deal with you another time.
Hakkar says that he will deal with us another day, and for now, we must turn our attention to Zul'aman and the Imani tribe. There we find Vol'jin once again. Now he's recruiting the help of Halduran Brightwing and his Farstrider Rangers. Halduran has battled with the Imani before. He was the one who had captured their previous leader Zul'jin, and now under the guidance of the Zandalari, the Imani Empire is trying to make a return with their favorite champion Dakara now leading them. To aid them with their mission, Halduran personally requested the aid of Risa Windrunner and her Silver Covenant. Now Lord Famar Farran is not happy about this. He sends a messenger demanding an explanation as to why this exile is in their lands. Halduran will hear none of it. His own range of forces are stretched too thin, and they need their help and experience. He tells the messenger to go back to Lorfmar, inform him of his plans, as Vol'jin explains what exactly they're facing. King Rastakhan is planning to unite the troll tribes under the Zandalari banner, so we have to go into Zul'aman and stop them from uniting. With the help of Vol'jin, we ring the gong, we open the gates, we take down their champions, who have enslaved the powers of their animal gods again, we rescue some of our scouts, until eventually we take out Dakara and we put a stop to the Zandalari plans.
Maybe before, but the Imani Empire never going to die.
We've put a stop to the rise of the Zandalari, at least for the moment. Vol'jin and the trolls, they enjoy the celebration, but the future for the Shadow Hunter would take a turn not even the Loa were able to predict. However, that's the story I'll save for next week, since I've been going on for long enough. For now, thank you very much for watching, everyone. Subscribe if you like my videos, leave a like if you enjoyed this one, and until next time, guys. See ya!
It was a good attempt.
It was horrible.
What?
That's our guild master.
It's horrible.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Oh my god, somebody's dying.
CPR, Joey, get to it. You know how to do it, right?
I'm not going to tell you what they're doing to make that cough.
We're
getting high! Oh my god!
Ask if they're willing to share.
Oh, Japan is going crazy about Gogeta.
It's a Gogeta, you hurt.
Oh.
Gogeta, he's a real Gogeta.
What a I was waiting for
that, Joe. I gotta Gogeta.
Yeah. I thought Joe wasn't reading those anymore.
No, he had to take, like, a 2-week break because of his brother's wedding or something.
God, I was under the impression that he was just sick of reading.
Same. No. I mean, he is, but he still shows up. That's what I mean. Basically, Joe, we're talking about how you used to rate a lot.
Yeah, and Mist celebrated like 4 or 5 days a week.
Yeah. How much do you get paid?
Jack-ish.
But Mom.
What do you need, Manny?
He needs haste food.
That one.
Could be ready.
And I'll be crib.
They can do it. We're still gonna not have it 5.
Nim, there's only so much mental prep we can do, homie. Are you ready?
No, I'm eating.
He's eating. He's good.
He's panicky. He's like, oh,
no, no,
I have to heal.
He's eating. Jesus, taste my
eyes.
Delicious.
My brain fills in kiss because taste doesn't make sense.
I think it would taste as amazing.
It makes sense to some people.
Oh my god.
Welcome to my house, Sergio.
No.
Tank in the back, by the way.
Is a cop?
Hey, I get the tank in the... No, Emerlyn! Okay, my brand of greenish is actually good for you. Is nobody gonna... I'll pick it up, that's fine.
I just blinked to it.
No, wow.
We're used to you doing it anyway, remember?
Yeah.
Not on heroic, Yogi! Not while I'm healing!
Not stressed at all!
Stand in the green, this shit's good for you!
What,
green fire?
Fire?
There's a bomb right there.
No! Sure? I'm out of mana, dude. What the fuck? Oh. What happens now?
You're spamming wild growth.
Oh, is that not a thing? Okay.
No.
Oh god, Manny. It's gonna kill you, Manny.
Yeah.
It's not there. Thank you for the update, everyone. Now I'm stunned.
Good job.
It's a good game. I still have Tranquility, so...
Do you have the mana to cast it?
Dude, just pop your channel in the mana pot.
Because he's got one.
Preparedness.
You guys are over here, you are in my artillery.
Because you know, it's not also my first time healing, it's my first time ranged.
Nice job, Nim!
I put
the 2 for 2, homie!
Exactly, I'm not supposed to do anything with that.
After telling me that it's too spiky, you want to solo heal this?
Okay, so here's my thinking. I'm just trying to make this work. If we can just divert-ish in the damage, it'll die. Like, it'll be rough, but I think I could probably do it and we can kill it fast enough.
You know that relies on people not standing in
ish? I'm aware.
Yeah?
I'm aware. I'm hoping... that after half a year in this place, we can dodge, like, a
here's example number A. Okay?
Example number A.
You're putting way too much hope.
Holy shit, you were serious about that poet. Oh. Nice snacks over there. How much? How much you want? How much you want?
Homie, what you need?
Yeah. I need that green. That good,
need
good.
Some
come
of
on.
Them,
that's it. That liquid for me, I'm saying. No, wait, no, there's too many people. There's too many people, come here.
Don't give it to him willy-nilly, Spike. Make him do something for
me. No, here, here.
No, people do weird stuff with that stuff.
I'll take 20 marijuanas, please.
Hello, I would like to buy one drug, please.
Thank you. A stack of injectable marijuanas.
Oh, shit.
It's the po-po.
I didn't that made me feel better. Funny.
I'm shampooing your head.
Shampoo.
I like the druid healing. I just need more gear for it.
Yeah, and less wild growth.
And less wild growth. Shut the fuck up.
Manny, what are you doing after raid?
What?
Doing after raid?
I have a boyfriend.
Giggity.
Oh my god.
Does your life know?
Green is bad. Green is bad.
Unless you're a druid healer. Unless you're a druid healer. Joe, don't listen to him.
Is that the Ouija's death star?
Yoshi's is good too. Let's not just discount it.
Yeah, pwee-poo. Pwee-poo.
But it's the face he's got when he's driving by. It's like pure like Snapchat face.
Oh, thank you, Killing Spree. 10 out of 10.
Spectra, behind you.
I'm mind controlled.
Oh my god!
Killed him on.
Ouchie! Ouch! 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 I have my thing zoomed out as far as possible so I can see everything, but it makes my depth perception weird.
It makes it really hard to perceive depth.
Depth! DPT!
Wait, she's beyond
yeah,
the
we know.
You're missing a vowel in there. Would you like to buy it?
Oh, no DP jokes. Leave her alone.
Wait, what? What kind of joke?
Just leave it. Just leave it.
Reason why I'm using a certain trinket that I usually never use.
Which is?
Void Sight.
Oh, I have that.
There's it.
Oh, wow. That's a
How do I get influenced when other people run in front of me? Like, what the f- oh. Like...
Method of to taunt.
Like, 5 people ran in front of me, and if Mugolfi attacks me, it just picks me out of Mugolfi's crowd.
They know it's you.
No loot, nothing, still get Mugolfi killed by assassins. Cool game.
Blizzard's version of a DDoS attack.
Don't wanna be that dumb PvP idiot. Jumping everywhere like some bunny nut. Every weapon that he's got is so bad. It's no wonder that he's almost always dead. See him run off when there's too much heat, and he hides when everyone else is beat. Always fighting at the edge of a wall. And we know that this guy is lazy, running all around like he's crazy, making stupid emotes at us all. Blowing money on buffs that are too short. He thinks hacking is okay for his esports. He thinks his silly armor die is so cute. Thinking purple shows everyone that he's a hoot. He looks so strange, no helmet and weird hair. Cheapo mods installed in that store bought gear. It's so fun when he dies trying to run. He will try to craft after Rezzy and trolls the members of the other team all while thinking that he's won. Don't wanna be that dumb PvP idiot. We're always scared that he'll get on a team with us. In the chat he's swearing cause he likes to cuss. To tell the truth, he really makes me nervous. He's always telling the same kind of stories. How he kills and loot your inventory while capping the base and noshing lunch. It's kinda sad he always gets something for doing absolutely nothing. Time I get to see him get wiped.
No, I was never in Night Ranger, but I have an all-dead girl group called Banshee.